ever had one of those terrible, rotten, no good, very bad days? Yes, yes, me too. The kind where you just feel overwhelmed and you want to run away and just hide away from everyone. I had one of those early this week, and to be honest, it started off okay. It started off pretty decent. I dropped the kids off at school. I came to work. I had a full day of stuff all day long, scheduled meetings, tasks that I needed to get done, and it was just back to back to back stuff. And then things started not quite working out the way that I wanted them to, and I got angry, and then I got irrational, would be the right word. My husband's over there, you can ask him. And then I just got flat out whiny. It was really, really bad. In fact, at one point, my kids came into my bedroom and asked me, "Mommy, do you still love us?" You know, the week of Mother's Day, Mother of the Year. By the way, happy Mother's Day to all you moms, future moms, grandmothers, hope to be moms. I bet that your gift today is probably going to be a little bit better than mine. I think my kids might be still a little bit upset with me. But there was one really good thing that came from my mental breakdown. Due to the fact that I couldn't do anything but just sit in my room and pray and read my Bible, God finally revealed what he wanted me to tell you today. It's funny because I really don't feel like this passage of Scripture has anything to do with mothers. It's not a Mother's Day Bible reference, but it does impact us as moms, but it also impacts all of us. Moms, women, men, students, moms, dads, bosses, employees, and everyone in between. I was going to do some sort of Mother's Day message. That was my plan initially, but then God just said, "No, I want you to do this. These people need to hear this from me, and it impacts everyone, not just moms." So today I want to talk about time. William Penn says, "Time is what we want most, but what we use worst." I want to tell you a story about two sisters. It's a story we all know really, really well. But in the words of a song that you can hear on the radio, it's not just a story. It's a living, breathing, walking testimony. Mary and Martha were as different as night and day. I imagine Martha was the picture of the perfect hostess. She loved to entertain company, of course, as long as they, you know, called in advance. Side note, listen, my friends know that if you ever show up at my house unannounced, I'm going to turn out the lights and I'm going to hide because I'm not going to let you in. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I don't want to see you. It has everything to do with the fact that my house is dirty and I don't want you to judge me. But back to Martha. I would imagine that if they had such magazines in her day, Martha would have been a subscriber to Southern Bethany Living or Better Homes and Gardens. She cares about the details and all things that are important to her, including how others perceive her. She's a perfectionist, and yet she's her own worst enemy. She sets expectations that she can never meet. She's never able to completely rest and be content. Life for Martha is always an unfinished task. And then on the other hand, you've got Mary, Martha's sister, who's not much into the hostess scene. It's not that Mary doesn't care or that she's not interested in having company over, but she's more interested in the conversation than the day's menu. I can imagine that if you dropped at Mary's house for a visit unannounced, she would welcome you in and perhaps have you go get your own glass of iced tea and probably bring her one too. It's not that she doesn't care. She just takes life as it comes. And material comforts and hostess graces are just not that important to her. She isn't a task person. She's a people person. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we discover an occasion where the stark contrast between these two sisters is obvious. Starting with verse 38, it says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and she said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you beloved little idiot. That's not what it says in the Bible, but I think that's probably what Jesus thought. You are worried and upset over these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. It will not be taken from her. Leo Christopher says, there's only one thing more precious than our time, and that is who we spend it on. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha is busy with much serving. Mary is enthralled as she sits at the feet of her Savior. Martha is enraged as she busily paces back and forth from the kitchen to the living room. Mary's doing nothing. Martha is working herself to the point of exhaustion. The Bible tells us that Martha is the one that welcomed Jesus into the house. This visit does not appear to be planned. And because of the short notice, there would be much work to do if dinner for Jesus was going to be prepared and on the table. It didn't take long for Martha to become stressed and angry at the fact that Mary was sitting while she was working. You ever been there? Because I have, many times. And then Martha directed her anger towards Jesus. She's essentially saying, Lord, if you really cared about me, you would rebuke my sister and tell her to get in the kitchen. Martha is ordering Jesus around and telling him what to do. Anger and frustration and resentment often comes out in this kind of controlling way. When people do not act the way we want them to, as task-oriented people, we often want to straighten those lazy people out. Listen, I'm not even mad at Martha. I get her. I would be so frustrated too. I don't think I would take it out on Jesus, but I get it. Martha gets a bad rep for this passage. It's easy to focus on her apparent frustration and her anger, but I want us to consider her in just a little bit different light today. Martha is not a bad person. In fact, she is a woman of dedication. She's a doer, like most of us moms are. I can just imagine that she's the kind of woman that probably seldomly complains, seldomly misses the smallest details. She can always be counted on when you need her. Martha is certainly a commendable woman. Thank God for the Marthas in this world. And hear me say this, this is not a story in the Bible to teach us that serving is bad and that sitting is good. Under different circumstances, serving may have been the best course of action. Instead, this is a story about maintaining a much-needed balance in our lives. It's a story about the need to recognize that we are human and we stumble and we fall short. It's a story about setting priorities and making the best choices in life. In our lives, we're not usually confronted with choices that are outright good versus evil. Those are easy ones for us to make. But how difficult are the everyday choices between what is good and what is best? I already forgot this person's name. Lee Iacocca? Iacocca. If you want to make good use of your time, you've got to know what is important and then give it all that you've got. In this instance, there were more important things to do than housework and preparing supper. What Jesus desired was not dinner, but devotion. Martha was worried and troubled about many things, and her worried and anxious heart is not going to find rest in serving or trying harder or doing more, but by sitting at the feet of Jesus and finding rest in his presence. That's why he tells us to come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. We do not get to Jesus by doing more. We get to Jesus by simply resting in him, with him, and he will calm our weary hearts. and our overwhelmed souls. He loves us, and he wants us to seek him above all else. In Matthew, Jesus is asked, which commandment is the most important? In Matthew 22, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. There are about 620 commands in the Old Testament, which makes for a really long multiple choice quiz. But out of all the possible answers, Jesus selects a command from Deuteronomy 6, the passage known as the Shema, meaning listen. It says this, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here God commands us. God commands us to love him above all else. Above all else. Above our schedules, above our commitments, above our calling, above our spouses, above our children. Or even to take it further, above our anxiety, above our depression, above our questions, and above our exhaustion. Jesus gives us a glimpse into who he really is. Not some score-keeping, rule-following, task-driven perfectionist, but a loving God who simply wants to spend time with us. It's that easy. And that's good news for us who always seem to be striving for more. It tells us that at the heart of life's challenges that every single one of us have, God is there. He's more concerned about our love and our devotion than our outward abilities. If only Martha could have stopped long enough to see herself as Jesus did, then she could have seen that her life was filled with busyness, but inside she was empty. Her life was one of frustration and distractions. I imagine that her calendar was filled with activities and engagements, all good things. But she was missing out on the best thing in life. Jonathan Estrees says, the way we spend our time defines who we are. As I was preparing this message, I began to recognize what I think I already knew about myself. I'm a Martha. I'm a doer. It's very easy for me to get so bogged down with all the things that have to be done at work or in my family or in my home or at my kids' school or for my kids' extracurricular activities that I miss out on my time with the Lord. And you know what happens every single time I do that? I get overwhelmed and stressed and burned out. And then I can't do anything. Jesus was saying to Martha, and perhaps you today, you're not Superwoman or Superman. You need to slow down. You need to reprioritize your life. Martha was caught up in what many of us are snared in today, the busyness trap. In Martha's mind, she had to do it all. She had to finish one task and have another one waiting. And she was good at it. But she was anxious and stressed. She could not accept herself. As a result, she could not accept others. And what Mary knew and what Martha needed to know that was in a devoted relationship with Jesus Christ, God's unconditional love and grace are experienced, and we are set free from the bondage of the busyness trap. Martha needed to know that she was not Superwoman and that that's okay. She needed to know what we so desperately need to know today, that in Jesus we are set free from a life of that seeks to prove that we can do anything, or that our children can do everything, or that we can volunteer everywhere, or that the busier that we are, the more productive we are. Michelle Guilan says, with technology and overscheduling, we're forgetting to invest time in simple connective moments with others. This week was a really bad week for my family, but it was a big eye-opener for me. Since I was a little baby, my Aunt Gaylene was there. I remember her living with us and how we always did things together. She and my mom were so close. Now, I have the very best mom in the entire world, and I love her more than she could possibly ever imagine. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, if you're watching. But my aunt was so important to me. When I was a little older, she moved out into this little house not too far away, and I can remember going and spending the night at her house, and she had this little truck that we would ride in and this little white dog named Snow. And as I grew up, she was still there. She would come video me as I would cheer for football games, and we would just laugh and joke every single year at our family reunion. I just talked to her on Monday. And on Wednesday, she unexpectedly passed away. And she's gone. I have no more time with her. The older I got, the busier I got. And I guess you just never really think about what you might be missing out on when you have so much to do. And I missed out on her. She didn't live that far away from me. But I didn't make extra effort to go see her like I should. I just assumed that she would always be there. And now she isn't. So this weekend, I didn't clean house. I didn't do laundry. I didn't fill my calendar up for the week. I really didn't do much. I just sat there and I mourned her and all the memories that I missed out on. And I thought to myself, I'm so devastated after losing her, but I don't make near enough time for Jesus either. What am I missing out on with him? So today my goal is to simply spend some time with my mom, my kids, and my Jesus, because I never want any of them to think that they don't mean the entire world to me. They matter more than the tasks. And as a doer, I needed to be reminded of that. Martha needed peace. And I'm willing to bet that most of us in this room need it too. Michael Altshuler says, "The bad news is time flies. The good news is you are the pilot. And at any point in our lives, we can change the course." So I ask you today, is your life filled with purpose and peace? Or does your life look more like Martha's, stressed and frayed? I'm going to ask that the prayer team come up. I encourage you to come up here and lay down the things that keep you from spending time with Jesus, that keep you from spending time with the people that are most important to you. Make him and them a priority in your life. Maybe you need to start a relationship with Jesus, and we can help you with that. We would love to help you with that. Just come forward and talk to one of our prayer team and allow them to walk you through those steps. Maybe you need some chains in your life to be broken. Maybe you got a lot of stuff holding you back from the things that you know you're supposed to do or that you can do. Maybe you need to lay down some things. Maybe you need to lay down some of your schedule and get rid of some things off of your list. you too can be set free from whatever holds you back from him. We all can. We're going to celebrate in a few minutes in baptism. If you want to be baptized, let's do it today. There's nothing holding us back. I ask that you give Jesus complete control of your life. Simply said, don't try to be Superwoman or Superman for that matter. But let Christ give you his peace and his rest today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for